Good morning, everybody, to this week's episode of Meaningful Matriarch. I'm super excited to have you here today and to have you hear my guest's insight on issues surrounding trauma and our Indigenous community. As we know, confronting tribal trauma and abuse can be complicated in Indigenous communities. We have various external and internal pressures that often leave the status quo right where it is and exasperates the abuse of our people and our children. You may not know, but the child abuse rate in the United States is the highest among American Indian or Alaska Native victims, with a rate of 15.2 cases per 1,000 children. It is the most common among children between 2 to 5 years of age, with about 165,000 cases reported in 2019. However, more boys than girls were victims of abuse, resulting in death. According to the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, childhood sexual abuse is a major public health concern. Alaska has the highest rate of forcible rape in the nation and a rate of reported rape that is 3 times the national average. More than 9% of Alaska high school students have experienced sexual violence. In one study, 80% of the 20-year-olds who reported childhood abuse met that criteria for at least one psychological disorder. We have about 10.6% of Alaska Native adults reporting having been made to have sex by any individual 5 years or older or an adult before they were 18. That is significantly higher than the 6.2% experienced by the general Alaska adult population. The Adverse Childhood Experiences, otherwise known as ACE study, a collaborative effort between the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and Kaiser Permanente's Health Appraisal Clinic in San Diego, assessed associations between childhood maltreatment and later life health and well-being. It is critical to understand how some of the worst health and social problems can arise as a consequence of adverse childhood experiences. Alaska takes on the burden of approximately $82 million in costs each year related to health care, welfare costs, special education costs due to non-fatal child maltreatment. Realizing these connections is likely to improve the efforts towards prevention and recovery. And as Indigenous women, we often are the ones that speak up first. We often are the ones that raise the alarm. And I'm seeing an uptick in women in our circles breaking that mold of silence and letting the status quo stay where it's at. And this is why we have to speak up, because this trend is dangerous and it's hurting the welfare of our people. So today I brought on a wonderful guest. She's very well read. She's a very active in her community, very well involved and informed in what is going on in our region. So I'd like everybody, and I'll let her introduce herself. Welcome, Mary, please. And how you doing, Mary?
Great. It's such a beautiful day today, and I think it's the only one this week, so I'm super excited to get out. My
Yes.
name is Mary Baumgartner, and I'm Tlingit and Tsimshian and a whole bunch of other things. My Tlingit name is K'lashtseyn Shachta, and I am from the Wushkiton clan.
Excellent. When we were kind of just casually going through a conversation earlier, you mentioned that there was something special about your clan, that there wasn't that very many of you.
Yeah, there's from what I've heard, there's not too many Wushkitons, but actually women, and so it's really that how matriarchal we are and how we're gonna pass on our clan, and I really hope that my girls see that importance of continuing the culture. And I've got four girls, so I'm
Wow.
helping our culture right there.
Saving our nation. And many people tune in and may not know, but Indigenous communities all across the continent are, when you hear us say we're matrilineal, that means all of our history, all of our clan identity, everything, and decisions historically were made by women. We were actually the ones that sat on councils and made decisions for our whole community. And many people don't realize that. So when we talk about being matrilineal and matriarchs, that's kind of what we're referring to. So Mary is raising up a whole fine royalty of matriarchs. So yay. So I brought you on because there was something that really stuck out to me. You know that I'm pretty outspoken and very direct, and it's not something we see a lot of around here. But what stuck out to me the most was somebody messaged me or said, "Oh, did you see Mary's post?" And I was like, no, I think I was at work or something. So I tend to follow mostly just magazines and different things online. And so I talked about it and I was like, well, and when I saw it, I said, well, yeah, well, good. More of us need to be doing that. And yeah, and so they weren't, I think they were just trying to feel out how I felt about it. So I was very much, yeah, Team Mary, let's go, let's do this all day. So can you discuss a little bit about what prompted you to make that post? So basically, if you don't know, it was a post about, I think predators in the region or on the island that currently live in our communities.
Yeah, so there was actually somebody that on, I think, one of the Facebook sales cycles in Ketchikan, and it had all of the Ketchikan sex offenders, and this is just the ones that are registered. And so I was curious and I started looking through mine, and there was a lot of people on the island that were registered that I had no idea about. I had a lot of people that I wouldn't suspect, or not suspect, but that I wouldn't have, like even considered that they would have been. So it was really an eye-opening thing for me to, and so I compiled a list and of their charges and when it was, and it wasn't to judge people, it wasn't to throw people under the bus, it was to raise awareness that predators are everywhere. And they're among us. They are, like a lot of people that I've heard about. It's, people always say that it's most common within your family. And so I really wanted it to, the impact I wanted it to have was people to be more aware of and more, not mistrusting people, but being more cautious about who they leave their kids with and things like that, because you can't take that back if something happens to your child. And yeah, so and then the initial responses were, wow, you're so brave. And I really didn't want it to be about me, so I just kept kind of promoting, like, be careful. So just the point is, I wanted everyone to be careful. And some of the other comments on it were, that's not even half the people on the list, or half the people that everybody knows about. And
Yes, and that is one of the, I think I want to focus on that point right there, is because it's, we can't change anything as Indigenous people, or can't even, that's why I felt it important to lead in this episode with those statistics. We can't change anything if we aren't facing what is going on in our own backyards. And that is probably, I think it just, I really honestly believe changing that mentality and the way things have always been, it just takes one or two people to start actually speaking up and saying, well, no, this isn't okay. I'm not going to subject my young children, my teens, or anyone to be around people just because they're family. Family can harm you too, and we've seen that over generations, this historical trauma and passing on of abuse. And so yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't feel sorry for anybody who's been convicted. I don't care who they are right now, because I don't really know who they are right now. All I know is this is what you did, And but yeah, I think every family can really has that relative that, you know, they're like, well, you know, don't leave them alone. But nobody ever does anything about it. It's not, it shouldn't be our responsibilities to try to keep, I mean, yes, it's our responsibility, but it shouldn't be put, the burden should not be put on our young kids. Be like, you know, don't go around so and so. That's not fair. How about we hold our own families accountable and stop trying to, how do you say, appease everybody and make and normalize abuse is what we're doing. We're tolerating these people living within our circles and therefore making our younger people vulnerable. Because it does, you're right, it just takes one moment. It just takes a moment to not be vigilant, and that's no way to live. So I am just not about that just because they're family. They, you know, we still invite them to, you know, the dinners just because they're family. We still have them show up to graduations. I think we need to return back to that idea of, you know, exile, so to speak. Like, no, they should never be made to feel comfortable around people and kids that they've violated. So what, so where, as so for you as an Indigenous woman, if you could just change two very specific things, whether it's, you know, have how police handle phone calls in domestic violence situations, or how intake is done for our youth, or placements. If, are there two specific things that, as an Indigenous woman, if you were queen for a day, that you would want to see changed immediately? Because I am not one of those that believes it takes 10 decades to change anything. I believe that there are things that we can change immediately in our communities to help offset this horrific crisis of abuse within our community.
You know what? I haven't thought about that aspect of it. I like that concept. For me, I think I don't have a lot of experience in being queen for a day. But I
Well,
think
you're raising matriarchs. You got to set the model, hun. It's okay to, and here's what I want to drive home with you and my listeners is that as women, we also to start changing things have to instill ourselves with a level of confidence and certainty and stop excusing, you know, stop apologizing for things before you say them. So like, let's stop getting in the habit of, well, I don't do this professionally, but, or, well, I don't have a lot of years of experience, but no, if you're passionate and you're knowledgeable and you read up and you're certain about what you're talking about, own that confidence as a woman, especially an Indigenous woman. So there you go.
Okay, so I think the first thing that I would say is knowledge. Knowledge really, really is power. Something that I see really common here is people don't know like the terminology. They don't know what's happening in their lives. They just think that life is hard. Life is hard, but if you read up on some issues, like codependency or gaslighting or narcissism or anything that has to do j with sexual abuse, how to help a survivor, how to be someone who can support a survivor, how to prevent it, how there's so many resources in this day and age, and I'm not judging, but we as a society do not use it the way that in a healthy way. We use it to fill the voids in ourselves, to pass the time, to things that aren't productive. When we have everything that break that cycle, and it's all for the kids, it's all going to be healing ourselves and showing our children what a healed person looks like, you know, being the model, like you said earlier. So the first thing I would do is I would help people learn about the things that are going wrong and become familiar with it. Because if you know somebody's gaslighting you, for as an example, if you know somebody's gaslighting you, then you know how to respond to it, to respond, not react. But if you don't know that term, you don't know, you it's just going to be back and forth arguing, just as an example. Like, it just knowing things makes a big difference in your defined goals, you know, like you'll have a path set out because you'll have the knowledge to want to know where to go next.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, is like access to information. And the reality is, and I know it's not just here, but in a lot of our communities across the nation, our leadership fails us, and our leadership, so we have multiple levels of barriers and obstacles to disseminating that knowledge, because not only do we have to start addressing, abuse in our communities, but then the leadership as well can often hinder that disbursement of information. And I'm just a firm believer in knowing your data, knowing your research, and not being silenced when you do talk publicly about it. So I think really just coming up with a roadmap of how you're going to communicate that knowledge is really important, but getting it out there is probably one of the most critical first steps. And I don't think we do enough of that. Yeah, there are a lot of Facebook groups. There's a lot of different varying things, but having a safe space to communicate with others is not really accessible without, you know what I mean? When you live in small towns, it's a very fine line where you have to balance all the time, in fear of people reacting and people not being very nice in return.
Yes.
And yeah, so, and you also mentioned before that there was this protecting our own style of society. And I totally know what you're saying. Can you talk more about that and how it's contributing to this problem we see of abuse in our communities?
So are you talking about, like, as an example, somebody who knows that their uncle is a molester, but they don't do anything about it? Is that like an example?
Yeah, that, or just with anything in general, where many times we don't dole out consequences because they fall within our own circle of existence.
Okay, yeah. So that lack of accountability, it really is a cause and effect thing. I mean, you see in parenting, if you don't hold your child accountable, they're not going to know accountability. And ultimately, it's the child that struggles as they grow up because they don't know those boundaries. They don't know how to function. And it's the same way with protecting people. Protecting somebody and not holding them accountable is, it's just destructive in all ways. It doesn't matter who it is. If you understand them enough to know why they do what they do, you need to take that to the next level. And if you want to help them, figure out how to help them in a healthy way. And
Yeah, exactly. I hear totally what you're saying. It's like we have to figure out, we cannot in one breath say we care about our community and our youth and we want to protect them and we want them to be healthy and speak up until we actually, when we are faced with these issues in our face, until we learn, especially leadership and our organizations that are charged to quote unquote oversee our people, until we can really take off those blinders and look at every situation for the specific problem and not the people bringing the problem to you. Because then you start looking at things with a very, how do you say, favoritism, like different lens. You don't hold everybody equitably accountable, and that is a serious problem. And and this is something I'll address on a later series dealing with, because I'm gonna do a survey of our community and stuff. But I've heard we hear about this happening all the time, where one person will file a complaint or the other will call our local law enforcement and be handled very differently. So I think the key too is having decision makers removing that distorted lens and looking at the specific problem and not the people bringing to it. Because I think in that they're just, that's a part of their own protecting their own. So they're auntie versus somebody who doesn't have a lot of family are going to be treated very differently. And that's a serious problem.
It really is. And I don't think that when it happens that people are, I don't think their efforts are to harm people or like straight up protect. I think it's just, it's coming from a good place, but that doesn't matter when the outcome is not a good thing. I've seen somebody try to speak up against their family and they were shamed and they were casted and to the point where they didn't know what to do. They weren't taught what to do and they just mask it and numb it with drinking. And that's a huge lose there.
Exactly. And it just highlights how far we have come from our roots as Indigenous people, how far we've come. And I am the first one to hold leadership accountable. I do not believe everybody operates with the good intentions. And I judge people. It's okay to judge people based on their outcomes, because then that tells you what you need to look out for and how you need to make decisions properly, without information and without that data. You're kind of just winging it. But that not knowing what to do feeling, I think we've all kind of felt at one point, especially if you don't have the family support and dynamic, and especially if it's your own family. So I think that's something that is definitely challenging. That's what I would love to see a Klan conference on, is like, hey guys, let's have all the original clans and let's start talking about this thing that we've been doing about trying to protect our own when it's to the detriment of our people. But yeah, it's, and I don't know, I'm gonna have to research it. And if you come across more data and studies that address the protection of each other more, I'd love to hear more about it. But yeah, I totally get it. So here's another question for you. How can we as women combat like this type of abuse we get? There are two types of abuse that we have to deal with, whether it's as Indigenous women, and I'm just focusing on women right now, so like girls all the way up to women, because that's what we are and we could speak best on it. But there are two types of abuse we have to deal with typically, is the assault. And then the abuse we get when we speak up, like from our families and whoever, especially in small towns. Have you really put any thought into, well, what are a couple ways things I can do to start combating that mentality?
So I didn't I am one of those people that started a Facebook group, and for me, what I've been doing is I've been trying to get knowledge out there, the terminology of abuse, resources to learn about it, because it all starts within. We have to get on a mentally strong foundation to be able to combat things, because as soon as things get tough, and if you don't have that mentally strong foundation, then you're just going to crumble with it. You're going to be persuaded, you will compromise, you Well, maybe even give up, because things are hard when you address something that has been normalized for so long. People are gonna think you're crazy, or they're gonna think that you're doing the wrong thing, or like when I did my Predator post, people told me it was not my place to raise awareness. And so I think that
Wow, that one, and I wish I would have jumped on that one, but I'm going to tell every listener out here and who comes across this podcast, if not us, then who? As matriarch women, it is in our genetics, it is in our DNA, it is in our history. We, for centuries, this is what we are supposed to do. This is what we're called to do, is speak up, not just on the good, feel good stuff, but the harmful stuff. Because if we don't speak up and address it, we're never going to change it. So do not let people silence you when you know deep down you're right and you're accurate. And I think really st holding strong, Mary said it best, you have to be strong. And you have to be determined, and there are resources out. So, Mary, what is your Facebook group name? So, if people are interested, they can go follow
okay,
it.
so I have a couple. One is, the title is Raising the Next Generation, but it's not just for parents. I wanted it to be to reach people who just wanted to heal themselves, who don't know. For me, I had no idea about the traumas that I went through, and as soon as I started learning everything, just it was really just a new lens. Like I stopped that victim mentality, and I started saying, like, okay, well, that's happened, and this is what I can do. And just that's what I'm trying to promote in that group. And if you are a Prince of Wales resident, there's one that's also called Prince of Wales Continual Improvement. And that one is for us to be together as a community. I feel like our generation, and it's just getting worse, our generation.
Hello, did I lose you?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, there you are.
Okay, what did you hear last?
Our generation is getting worse.
Okay. Yeah, our generation is just getting worse. We know the terminology for how we're feeling, our anxiety and our depression and the labels and everything, but what are we doing to help it, to at the root of the problem? And so I wanted for the continual improvement group, I wanted us to learn how to be a community again, to learn how to be somebody that is the change, not something somebody that just notices this isn't right. And so I wanted to promote that the social challenge of being together and talking through problems instead of, oh no, that person doesn't agree with me, he's bad. I feel like that's a big problem that we have. If somebody doesn't agree with you, then it's they're a bad person. And
Yes, learning to have discourse and discussion. And I'm not a filtered person. I mean, I very much, I think that's where I share similarities with you. Data and information is my friend. And I have never experienced more having to validate what I'm saying than I ever have living and moving here. Like everything, I have to, try to prove my credibleness and validity in anything I'm saying. And even all the way up from to leadership, like the top, like the mayor will sit there and he got in a debate with me online when I wasn't even like commenting to him directly, because it was a subject that I studied very well and it dealt with the healthcare of our people in my healthcare law class some time back. But I'll digress on that. But just constantly, and it wasn't just him, it was multiple men. And that's what threw me a little bit was like, man, this isn't even a hardcore subject we're talking about. How are we ever going to even start talking about child abuse, sexual assault? Like, it just blew my mind. And that was one of the main motivators for creating a space and a platform for women to just talk freely and honestly without constantly having to feel like we have to validate and prove ourselves to be credible before we even speak.
Yeah, that is a huge thing. People don't keep an open mind. They have their judgment on somebody, and whatever they have to say is bad, or whatever they judge them on. And I listened to this podcast with this neuroscientist. It was really interesting. So he said that when somebody supports your worldview, so saying like she's bad and that means I'm good. When somebody supports that, say, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're totally right. I'm back with you. I'm here with you. They actually will, their bodies release dopamine and a little bit of adrenaline. So that feeling of I'm right, and this means that that person is bad, it can literally be addicting.
And even and on the flip side of that, when there's also this norm now that people, well, it's well known that it's not a, then it creates this thing, well, it's not a good thing to ask questions, because I've seen how the different people react to just questions. And that's dangerous, because then that's like, that creates a blanket of silence and fear. So, just layer after layer of things. So, creating an environment where, so, like, let's say, and you've followed me and you've seen me a lot, like, I'm very outspoken. And if I have questions about our city government or our tribe or anybody, I'm going to ask it. And I'm unapologetic about it. But the one thing I miss is I wish we could at least even have conversations about it. And I've tried on many times to have conversations with leaders about it. But the thing that gets me is it's mostly, I firmly believe it's mostly because it's coming from me. Because I could have someone else say the same thing and it's like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Let's talk about that. And so it's just blows my mind. And so that is why I'm trying really hard to reach out to just basically anyone to let's start having conversations where it's just a conversation, as if we're sitting together on this nice day, and I promise we're almost done having our coffee and just saying, yo, what can we do about it? So I will put your website or your Facebook group. So if you can send me the links to those so I can share them, and then I'll put them on my website. And I'm super excited about the proactive approach you have to our community and to young women and just victims of trauma. As we know, currently most sexual predators don't face consequences for their crimes, because often our society and the legal system does not support survivors of sexual violence. And speaking up isn't always enough when we live in a society that does not protect women. So I'm hoping with things like this podcast, your Facebook groups, and different activities that we actually are creating a larger, like just a larger container that will help protect women and young girls coming up in this world. So is there anything else you'd like to add that where you just want to leave our listeners with an impact statement?
Let's see. I think that a lot of people need to learn. I feel like everybody has one person that they're really close with and they're just complete opposites, even with worldviews. So we all know how to get past that barrier of the differences. And I think it's a skill. So I think that everybody needs to practice not feeling personally attacked, or like it's okay to not be right about something. It's okay to not No, it but it's not okay to shut somebody down because it's not they don't because they don't go with what you believe. Everybody has a different life. Everybody has a different perspective. So I think that the most logical thing is that somebody else is going to have a different perspective that will contribute to us healing together. And to get to that point, to be able to listen to them, we need to be able to talk without it turning into a 300 comment thread on Facebook that everybody's watching.
Yes. Awesome. Well, I so appreciate your time and your frankness and your bravery. And I'm hoping that I will probably ask you to be on the show again some other time, or if you just have something really important you need to share, just let me know. So thank you, and I look forward to seeing you do many more things for our community.
Yes, I'm hoping that I can get a lot of people to, a lot of people, like with voting as an example, they, oh, I just stay out of it, but that's the wrong mentality because we are the ones. We're the little fish going against the big shark, and we have to make our own futures. We have to forge our own paths. It's not just because the people that do stand up for the people, they are like 9 times out of 10 overworked, overburdened. They're the ones that are volunteering for everything. They're burnt out, and it's not fair. We need to be in this together, not just a few select people doing it, making the change for everybody. We need to be self-reliant.
Exactly. And I think that this whole take care of our own too, it leaves a whole group of people out, people who don't have those large families, that don't have people checking in on them every day. And I'm always looking for the ones that are forgotten, and that's just not our indigenous way. So maybe that will be a future topic later on. And I will let you go if you need to go, and I hope you have a
Yeah,
great
you
day.
too. Thanks for having me on. I really like talking about these things.
Okay. Awesome, Mary. Well, I'll be in touch, and I'll be sharing this in about
All right,
20
perfect.
minutes.
Thank you.
All
Bye.
right. Okay. Bye-bye.